I need to make an important clarification. In an earlier version of the question and answer episode, following the inaugural episode of the second season, The Third Circle, I responded to a question about a controversy in the Mooresville Police Department, specifically an article published earlier this year about two higher-ups in the department having been suspended pending an internal investigation. In discussion of the topic in the article specifically, I said that I knew the lead investigator from the Mooresville Police Department had been under investigation himself in 2018. It's come to my attention that some have interpreted this as me saying that the investigator in charge of Matt Stewart's murder case has been under investigation. This is not what I was suggesting. I was referring to the supervisor of all criminal investigations. I realize now that I should have been more specific and that my terminology was incorrect or misleading, and for that, I apologize. I said in the episode, and I'll say again, I don't know if there's any connection with the internal personnel investigation and Matt Stewart's murder case. There clearly doesn't appear to be any direct connection. However, I said before, and I still believe, that the controversy in the department is relevant to those interested in getting justice for Matt. It furthers the argument that definitive action to regain the confidence of the community in this specific case is necessary. As I said, releasing more information to the public or publicly inviting in experts to analyze the facts of this case are some ideas of what I think could serve this purpose. I digress. The main point being, I said lead investigator when I should have said and meant to say supervisor of criminal investigations. And I'm sorry for the confusion. I'm Freddie, host of Unforgotten, a podcast series which dives into the 2009 unsolved murder of Matt Stewart. The following is a special question and answer episode featuring a conversation recorded earlier this week between myself and Steve, moderator of the Unforgotten Forum. If you have any suggestions about topics or questions to be included in future special episodes, you can submit them on the forum, located at unforgotten.freeforums.net.
All right, so we are here at the next question and answer episode. We have a special guest, Lucy, the individual who in the last two episodes we've called Lucy has agreed to answer some questions from the forum that listeners have posted. We started to notice a lot of them were directed at Lucy, and I think a lot of people are very appreciative that she's been willing to come forward and tell her side of things. So we will try to get through all these questions.
All right, we've got a number of questions about the farm mentioned in the past episode, where Matt's widow and the three children are said to have stayed for an extended period of time following the murder. Nicole Ashley, 1754, asks, can you disclose whose farm that was? Was it someone from the church?
I will not disclose whose farm it was. It was someone that at that time did attend the church that owned the farm.
On the same thread, Curious, 1982, added this, but if it is who I think it is, it's a family farm, and Angel used to date one of the sons. Am I correct, Freddie?
That person is correct, but it's, I think, worth noting that when Angel is said to have dated that son was more than a decade before the murder, at this point, over 20 years ago. Technically, yeah.
Only Sherry asks, was anyone tested for gunshot residue? Perhaps we can ask Lucy. She seems to know a lot.
She does seem to know a lot. I think we should ask her.
To my memory, yes, Brenda was, because the gun shells were found in her car. It was in the driveway at some point during the crime scene, but that's all I know. I remember Brenda. I don't remember anybody else.
Gotcha. Do you remember, like, if she was talking about having been tested for gunshot residue?
Yes, vaguely. Because it was brought up numerous times that the guns, you know, that the shells were found in her car. And
was there a specific moment that you began to question the story from Angel and the family?
I mean, the whole time, not a not a specific moment itself. I do remember being at Matt's grandmother's before the funeral. When I first got there, I kind of stood back, and when she spotted me, she got up and she came over to me and she just like stood there and hugged me and cried, and, you know, thanked me for coming. And during that time frame, we let her kind of dictate when she wanted to talk. It was like a house full of people. Certain times after, you know, 6:30, 7, people would start leaving and not staying around, and it would just be a very small, intimate group of us. And at certain times, she would want to talk about certain things. And I remember a few girls being there. I don't know exactly who all was there with us, but I kind of remember Angel telling what happened in her words to us. You know, the leaving of the other child in the home, I just remember kind of that point feeling like, I, as a mom of two, not something I would do.
Did she explain why she left the three-year-old in the house?
No, nobody, none of us at that point. I just don't think at that point we were ready to start asking questions like that. It was more like, I grabbed the baby and I left to go get help.
But she didn't. So she didn't like, add a caveat. Like she didn't. She didn't volunteer an explanation.
No, for me, honestly, that might be the point that it happened for me, because I have two children, and my youngest child slept with me forever. But I can tell you, if somebody broke into my home and was trying to kill us, I would die trying to get my other child out of the house.
Right.
Before I just. When the story all started coming together and I started removing myself, when I had those moments where I wasn't with the family and I was with my friends who were not a part of the family or didn't know the family, and I could have rational conversations and I'd be like, this is what I just heard. You know, I confided in a few close friends during this time and they all came back to the same thing. It's like, how do you leave your kid?
All right, next question.
All right. Is there anything Angel ever said or did about her marriage to Matt or him in general that struck you as odd or strange?
No. Everything she said about Matt sounded like everything every girl wanted. You know, he treated her well and did all the right things and said all the right things and gave her the warm and fuzzies. And he ended up being great with Hannah and very fairy tale-esque. I never heard anything negative, anything bad.
Okay. What explanation for the alienation did Angel and the family ever give you for isolating you from them?
There was never an explanation. I had been going out to where they were staying, visiting frequently. I had taken the middle daughter to have a play date with my daughter, took her back home, saw her a few more times, went out there and was told she didn't live there anymore. Stopped taking my phone calls. I didn't know where she was located. And I didn't really know how to reach out to anybody. And so eventually I just chalked it up to I was being pushed out for a reason. And even though I didn't understand it, I never got an explanation.
And did you have mutual friends with Angel?
Some, but not any that like I would continue to see on a regular basis. And nobody saw her. I mean, the people that we were mutually friends with, nobody was seeing her. You know, years down the road, I kept seeing, you know, where they were all together, but I never fully, like, reached out. I tried to a few times and tried to initiate us getting together, but for some reason, it just never happened. So at some point, I just stopped.
So it wasn't just you. It seems they closed ranks and shut everybody out about the same time.
Yes. I mean, she lived on the farm, and from my understanding, she didn't do anything. She didn't go out in public. She didn't do anything. For a very long time. She was there. That was her safe space. That was where she wanted to be. From my understanding, her parents rotated staying with her. Her family would go there. Hindsight 2020. I mean, had I been a little bit older, had this all happened now, I would have definitely pushed back. But you have to remember, I had my own life going on. I had two small children. I just had my own personal things happening in my life. So when it kind of got cut out. It was really sad because she was always like my big sister. She was my confidant. She was the one who always went through everything first. You know what I mean? Like it was really hard for me at first. But at the same time, I was just like, well, her husband was just murdered and I'm just not going to force my way in. And I knew that I didn't feel comfortable around the people either.
At the farm.
At the farm. Yeah, it became a very black and white decision for me, just to kind of walk away.
Move on to the next one. What are your thoughts on river life and their influence on Angel and the investigation? Also, what are your thoughts on river life's shielding and protecting of Angel?
My thoughts on river life itself and that whole, I've been a few times, never felt like it was the place for me to be. They were a very tight-knit group of people, and it seemed very hard to become one of them, I guess. In the space I was in my young 20s, I wasn't going to mold myself into somebody I knew I wasn't to be a part of it, and I definitely feel like they played a major part in it. However, in the beginning, I felt like she was going out there for seclusion because they didn't know who did this, and they wanted everybody to be safe. But then as, like, time grew on and it was still kind of in the media, I started Googling things and reading things from the media. Everybody was accusing Angel. Everybody that was commenting on the news forum comments and the posts on social media, they were all saying she had something to do with Matt's murder. And I was like, is she hiding out because she's scared, or is she hiding out because she doesn't want to be accosted in public as a murderer? And I do feel like that community and those people played a big part in her choices after Matt's murder. I knew that she couldn't go home, but the seclusion of solely being around those people, it didn't sit well with me. It just, that all felt very cult-like to me. She basically shut herself off from the world, and that's not reality.
It's a little odd. It seems like there's a selective fear. Did it seem like when she was at Jean's house in the days after the murder that she was afraid that someone was out to get her?
No.
Why was the threat increase after, with time? Why was the threat increase?
There was no cops parked outside of Jean's house. There was no protection. There was nothing different.
Really?
No. There. Other than the fact that there were people there, like family, there were mass amounts of cars outside all the time, but there was nothing different about it. It was I understood she couldn't go home. Like, I could never go there. I wouldn't want to go to sleep in that house. I got it. I understood it. But again, there was no initial fear. We weren't all sitting around talking about somebody coming to Jean's house to kill us.
I wonder where that came from then, because clearly it became an issue according to, the family and...
That came from the church, to be honest with you. Like, those people, I should say, not necessarily the church, but, like, those people involved, meaning, like, we don't know, and is this guy still out there? There was none of that talk. Like, we weren't, if there was, why wasn't there protection for me when I was sitting there with all of your children? Why am I sitting here?
You don't remember that Jean's house was being guarded by police during the funeral?
No. Right. It's across the street from the golf course on a major road in town. There was no hiding it. So that's what I didn't understand. How do we go from being in that location to all of a sudden going to some desolate farm where nobody's allowed to know where the hell you are? Like, what is this? Like, should I be worried? I was just at your house. If somebody was taking surveillance, they sure as hell saw me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't... That's where things really started to get gray for me. And I didn't really understand, was she hiding out because she was truly scared that somebody was going to come back? Or was she hiding out because that's what everybody in Mooresville thought? You know, and then I fought these feelings, too, because it's like, I've known this girl forever. Could she really know about this? But then when you look at the big picture, hell yeah, they could. You know, that's where I stand with it. So I don't believe for one second that they took her out there to protect her. I think they took her out there to get her away from everybody else. She fell off the face of the earth. She had no social media. Her cell phone number got changed. There was no more house phone. It was like she didn't exist. except on the farm and to the people who knew where the farm was. It's like they isolated her.
What other rumors around town at the time of the murder and currently have you heard about this case?
So at the time of the murder, I do know that they were also spending some time at the hospital, like questioning staff, which, you know, during the time of this podcast, a lot of that was all kind of negated. But it was that, you know, could have Matt been, you know, could he been dealing drugs on the side? Could he have been stealing from the hospital? Was it a patient that he promised drugs to that he couldn't follow through? There was just kind of that kind of rumor mill going around not long after, but nothing really came of it. And I actually have a very close family friend who worked at the hospital as well at the time that Matt did. And they weren't in the same unit, but it's a very small hospital. It's not a CMC main uptown. It's not a huge, huge hospital. And it was certainly probably much smaller back then. So she kind of had heard the same story. She was asking some questions of that nature, like, have we heard anything like that? And so I know that was out there. But again, I mean, going back to before, I mean, if you read the news article comments, everybody was going after Angel. There was really no big lead. It was very surreal to us that, you know, when we did start hearing more that there was no evidence, kind of rumors about a hitman because, you know, who comes in and cleans up and leaves no evidence? Like, what random Mooresville born and bred or lived person is going to be able to do that? Their location of their house was always kind of in play, too, where an easy access to the neighborhood from behind the home, not necessarily in the neighborhood itself. Nothing really crazy. Yeah, I don't really have anything other than that.
All right, and then the last question I have here is, do you believe the random break-in theory, or do you think something isn't on the up and up?
No, this isn't a random break-in. There was nothing taken. There was no forced entry. Nothing was missing. Absolutely nothing. So, no, I don't buy the break-in thing. And the whole thing where they went to the neighbor's house and did all that stuff, like, I just still to this day am like, I don't understand. If you call 911 and somebody's in the house attacking somebody, is the other child being in the home what made this a hostage situation that caused you to wait so long? I definitely don't feel like something's – I feel like something's not on the up and up. There's something missing. There's a big piece that we're not all hearing that's missing. And I just don't buy it. There's something missing. And every now and then I get these little feelings and I start kind of digging back in. I start trying to look for the missing piece and really wish I would have wrote some of these things down all those years ago. But even when this happened, I never thought for so long it would be an unsolved murder. I didn't understand how he could be murdered that maliciously and there be no answers or not even a clue or anything.
Do you remember when they were trying to sell their house?
Yeah, I do remember it being up for sale briefly.
For why? I know we talked about that before, but
I do think for some reason they wanted to buy land. They wanted to build on land and not be in a neighborhood, you know, maybe have the potential to buy a bigger tract of land and maybe sell some of it. But I don't really know for sure. Uprooting the kids, I don't think was an option. So, you know, they liked where they lived. They liked that area. They had their friends were there, that kind of a thing.
Well, the house was on the market for a very short time. There's these rumors about it also being on the market at the time of the murder, but those have not been corroborated. It was up for sale in 08.
You know, you questioned, I think, at some point asking me if I thought they were having financial trouble. I never really knew per se that, but I wouldn't put it past the fact of it being she wanted something a little bigger or they wanted land or they couldn't really go any smaller. They had three kids. The house wasn't extravagant. And you would think on their salaries, they could maintain it, but they had two brand new cars. They were probably stretched pretty thin financially for two young people, but, you know, and I told you before, Hannah was in private school, and I don't really know. I never really understood, I guess. I don't think we really talked about why, but I do remember having a conversation about them. Angel did really like when she lived in a little cottage and had land, and, you know, they could kind of go out, and Hannah rode around in the back in her little Jeep and played, and there was just a lot of space. So I don't know if that was the question. Before, I never heard they wanted to move anywhere different other than where they lived in that area. So I'm not sure. But like I said, it's not like they had anybody there. If they were going to build a house or do something different, it's not like anybody lived there that they could live with to help them do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So selling the house meant they had to go find something temporary, like an apartment or, I don't know. I do remember being there when the house was for sale. I just don't remember, you know, specifics of that. Again, very long time ago.
All right, anything else?
No, I mean, I hope that everything that comes out leads to something more. Somebody knows what happened on that night. And at some point, I hope that they're willing to share what they know.
I'll tell you, I've been surprised. Keep thinking to myself, like, well, I think I've reached the end of the list of people that know something significant that are willing to talk. And every time I think that, I get another phone call from someone that's like, well, police asked me this. And it just never ceases to amaze me. I sincerely hope somebody that knows something will come forward.
Did you have any closing statement you needed me to do or anything, Freddie?
I guess closing statement is the finale is coming in likely November, early November, and not October because of interviews that I'm hoping to obtain. So look out for that. That's all I've got.
Sure, we're all looking forward to it.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thanks. Well, I really appreciate it.
Thanks again.
All right.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Unforgotten is a Bold Era production, written and recorded by myself, Freddie Wilson, in the always sunny Daytona Beach, Florida. As always, this series is dedicated to the life of Matt Stewart. May his memory remain unforgotten.